You're listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea. PAL Kauai is made possible by KKCR's sustaining members in partnership with Rising Sun Solar, Kilauea Paint and Feed, A. Feinberg Galleries, Coco Care,
Rising Sun Solar, promoting sustainability, environmental stewardship, and energy independence in Hawaii made since 1986. Design, installation, and maintenance for high-performance sun power panels and solar energy systems. Rising Sun Solar, a certified Tesla home battery company. 808-652-7357 or risingsunsolar.com.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and sundries, propane exchange and refills, premium pet food, organic livestock feed, and Hendrika's organic fertilizer. Locally owned Kilauea Paint and Feed, just off the highway in Kilauea Town. 828-6655 or KilaueaPaint.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, showcasing the world-class, award-winning fine art photography of Aaron Feinberg. Now open daily in the Hanalei Dolphin Center, the Princeville Resort, and the shops at Kukui'ula Ho'ipu. A. Feinberg Galleries proudly support Kauai Community Radio by underwriting this program, 634-5804, or expandingvisualreality.com.
Coco Care proudly supports Community Radio on Kauai by underwriting this KKCR program. Coco Care, providing insured, spurless coconut tree trimming and hazard removal for your home or business. Coco Care, keeping cocoa trees healthy and safe in Hawaii Nei for 20 years. 808-635-6854.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Welcome. This is PAL Kauai. And today we are joined by, as always, Jim Edmonds, president of Permanently Affordable Living Kauai, and I am Larry Graff, executive director of Permanently Affordable Living Kauai. Jim, are you with us?
No.
That's perfect. Jim is joined remotely. I'm the only one in the studio today. We're taking precautions. We want to thank everybody for listening. And just as a reminder, Jim, why don't you tell them what PAL Kauai and PAL Kauai Radio is all about.
Okay, well, first I think we should let everybody know that, as everyone can tell, life has changed dramatically since we had the last show a month ago. And we're pretty much making this up as we go. We are doing everything we can to keep it a normal show, but if you've been watching even the network televisions, or a lot of their doing a lot of their productions from home now. And I'm at home, and maybe next time Larry will have to be from home. We're working this out as we go. But one question to ask you, Larry. I just heard we have two guests. Tom Pickett, I think, is he online already, Larry?
Tom is joining us. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Beautiful.
Okay, there we go.
Aloha, Tom.
Ray said he's trying to call in. Ray Maki was also going to join us, and he said it's busy. He can't get into the line, Larry, just to let you know. That's why I was bringing that up.
We'll check with the station manager here in just a moment. He stepped out.
Okay, so I told him to hold on, and I'll text him when we can know that he has an open line. If you can't get an open line, ask her if he can call the station line, or what do we do, because he's planned to be a guest. So just so you understand, listeners, the listening audience, PAL Kauai is a nonprofit. We often joke that we are a 19-month-old nonprofit with about 250 years of experience doing what it is that we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is build truly and permanently affordable housing, with a priority and preference for the local people on this island, and done in such a way that we are also focusing, as our name says, permanently affordable living. So what we say is it is housing and so much more. And we had Tom and Ray coming on today. Tom and Ray. Ray says he's still trying, Larry. I don't know if there's something you can do to help him. I can talk for a minute.
I'm sending him a text.
So basically, they were coming on to talk to you about a businessman who has had real struggles in trying to keep his business afloat, and a farmer who has faced real troubles in trying to keep his farm afloat, because in both cases, it is so hard to get people who can afford to work for you at the rate that they can afford to pay and keep their businesses afloat, because housing is so ridiculously expensive here. Now, interestingly enough, there's going to be some changes happening in that, and I want to wait until we can get Ray online before I bring that up. But, Larry, will you tell me when Ray is online?
I'll let you know, Jim. I just sent him a text, just some technical issues here with the number he was calling in on. Instead of the regular call-in number, he'll be calling in on 826-7774. Because we have two people on the line already, and that's the maximum for the call.
So I'm not listening to you on the radio, but I can barely hear you. I don't know if the listener can hear you clearly.
I think Ray's just called in.
Okay, I'm not sure if you can do something about your volume.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Three people on.
Hi, Ray, are you there?
I'm here.
Beautiful. Now we are joined by Ray and Tom and Jim Edmonds.
So can Ray and Tom hear me, Jim?
You started out real strong, but right now it's been quite light for a few minutes.
So is Laura trying to help you there, Larry? Because I cannot hear these folks. We need to get the volume straightened out somehow to make this thing work.
All right.
I'm not sure if it's because of the telephones or what. I think that was Tom, and I couldn't hear him.
Okay.
It might be too many people.
They have to turn their radios down.
So,
if you turn your radio down, it'll help. Ray and Tom and Jim, if you have your radio on, go ahead and turn that down right now, and that should help.
No, I don't.
No, yeah, no radio.
Everything's off over here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You're gonna have to ride.
Yes,
I'm not gonna be able to be any help to you, Larry.
All right. Well, I have the station manager right here by my side. He's not the manager. I've got my technical support right here, my right hand person. So thank you, audience, for bearing with us. We're doing the show remotely. We've got one person in the studio and three people calling in. So. We're all changing our ways here with the new way of doing things. So if you just bear with us for a minute, I'm sure that we'll get this. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Larry, I just got a text from Greg. He's listening on the radio, and he said everybody's volume is fine. So we'll just proceed, and I'll just do my best to hear what's going on and take part in it.
Thank you, Greg Crow.
To everyone, including our guests, I just really want to thank you for being here today and for everyone's patience in trying to figure out what's going on and in trying to work together to keep the health as good as possible for our community. It's so important. It's so important to all of us. And both of the people online, it's kind of like our conversation has changed since we hoped that you would be a guest, since you agreed to be a guest, because now we're talking about a whole different ball of wax, and one of the things that I'd like to introduce into the conversation is I just found out today, this is like completely changes the housing situation for all of us, and I had sent you and Greg an email about it, Larry. Basically, if you go to Craigslist now, there are suddenly tons of places for rent. And probably what that means is that since the mayor has chosen now to say that new guests who come here are going into a two-week quarantine before they can hang out on the island, most of the vacation rental owners are assuming that they're not going to be coming, and everybody's canceling. And suddenly those vacation rental owners who were supporting their mortgages and a lot of their bills with their vacation rentals, suddenly, those are no longer viable. suddenly they can't rent those, whether they were legal or not. They're not going to be able to rent them. And some of them are super high buck situations, high dollar situations, where people have invested huge amounts of money to build markets and really nice properties and things like that. A lot of those places are suddenly going to become available. So if you go to Craigslist, if you need a place to live, it has suddenly changed. There are people renting many, many places to rent. The problem is they're all asking a huge amount of money for them right now because they're comparing them to their vacation rental income. But if a ton of them come online, it will not take long for them to get the message that they've got to tighten their belts and bring their rents down to get people who will take care of their properties. One thing I've learned as a many-year property manager is if you charge too much for your property, the people don't appreciate it and respect it, so they'll really do a lot of damage to your property sometimes. So they'll learn that they need to bring their rents down to reasonable rates. And maybe we can get back to some semblance of reality here. I've been, needless to say, really thinking a lot like everybody on the island is about what the future looks like. And because I have the advantage of many years over most of the people who are listening, I just turned 75 last week and very proud of it, not bragging or complaining. But it just gives me the opportunity to have ridden through four or five of these financial upturns and downturns in my life, including three of them as a broker running a business that was responsible to clients and managed properties. I remember I was managing 55 properties when Iniki hit, or somewhere in that neighborhood, and we went to visit some of the properties to see what was going to have to happen, and they weren't there. They were gone. It's like, oh, how do you manage that? It's gone. So, you know, I've learned a lot in my life, and one thing that I can assure everyone, all of the listeners, hang in there. It will work out. Nobody's going to die, I mean, unless you happen to get the coronavirus, but hopefully not if you're careful. The economy will come back around. The government will figure it out. They have to, because there's billions of people resting on it now. And basically, it's kind of a pendulum. The pendulum will swing one direction, and then it swings the other way, and it always seems to go higher and higher, but it always swings back to the center, and just hang in there, and there's going to be a lot of help. The banks are going to have to step forward and help. Government's going to have to step forward and help, and it's studying what that means now. And you just have to keep it together and keep your nose to the grindstone and have the faith that it's going to work out. I think at this point, faith is probably the most important tool that we have in our tool belt. So that's just my little two cents. And what I'd really like to do, Larry, is if it's comfortable with you, is open up to Ray or Tom, because both of them, I know Tom, particularly Tom, you've closed the bakery now. Maybe you should take it first and just tell us what you think about what is happening and how it affects everyone and what you expect to happen in the near future here.
So before we begin, and for our listening audience, Tom Pickett is the owner of the Kilauea Bakery and Pauhana Pizza.
Along with Katie Pickett.
Thank you so much, Tom. And that's behind the Kung Lung store in Kilauea. And Tom is and his store has been an icon in the community since 1990. Is that right, Tom?
Yes, it is. Well, I don't know about icon, but we've been here since 1990.
I love your food, Tom.
I can say it was.
So does everybody else.
The whole time. Is Katie with you, Tom? Is she part of this conversation?
No, she may be listening.
Well, that's great. Tom, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's going on with the bakery and how things have affected it, and let's talk a little about finding employees and employee housing.
All right. Well, that's a lot of things. This week we've spent giving away our perishable goods and open inventory to our employees, we closed on Wednesday. We tried reacting daily for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, to this virus, trying to stay one step ahead of it. But by Friday,
tell us what you did, Tom. Tell us about the steps. What did you do?
Well, in the beginning, we started. I think you could start with the sink that I installed outside of the front door and made mandatory hand washing for a few days there.
For the customers.
And then the next day, the next reaction was, okay, it's now we're to go. Everything is to go. We stopped using all our plates. Then the next thing we did was remove half our tables and chairs and to increase social distancing. A day later, I said, okay, only eight customers inside the bakery at a time, and I was made myself door monitor. But even after that, you know, we're still, all of us are exposing ourselves to 200 or 300 or 400 people a day, and many of them visitors or people who have just gotten off, even residents that have just gotten off of airplanes. So we decided to close on Wednesday and then start the clock on 14 days. So on April 1st will be our first opportunity to reopen basically with a new business plan, starting small with bringing food out to a person's car, running all of the payments over the telephone so there's no exchange of hands or anything. Even the employees, if we do this, would be, each one would be working in a different room. We'll just stay as isolated as possible and as clean as possible. But it depends on if all of our employees are healthy on April 1st, and if the mayor and the health department say it's okay for us to reopen.
Well, along those lines, gentlemen, and because this is a community radio station, we've got to take a little break. We just got a daily update from the office of the mayor, and we are going to go ahead and take a 6-minute break to play that. Just bear with us, and it might actually give us a little more information along the lines of what you were talking about, Tom. If you just give us a minute, and we'll be right back. Just one second, everyone. Here we go.
In isolation, in stable.
Thank you.
Aloha, Kauai. Here's our daily COVID-19 briefing from Team Kauai for Monday, March 23rd. We now have 4 confirmed cases of COVID-19 here on Kauai. The new case is an adult male visitor who is currently in isolation in stable condition. The Department of Health is working with him to determine any close contacts during his stay here. Additionally, we continue to have 2 adults in isolation as they recover from COVID-19, as well as 1 female adult resident who remains in isolation at home. Statewide, we now have 77 total positive cases, with 21 new cases overnight. As you can see, folks, our numbers are rising across the state, so it's imperative that we continue to heed the warnings and follow best practices as set by the CDC. We continue to be under a national emergency per the president. The Center for Disease Control updates its website regularly with detailed guidance related to COVID-19. For more information, please visit coronavirus.gov. For those that did not see our announcement yesterday afternoon, we are working with the governor to coordinate enhanced efforts to combat COVID-19 here in the state of Hawaii. Here is a reminder of the current rules now in effect. All county campgrounds are closed to the public to allow our houseless community a safe space to take shelter. We have a nightly curfew in place for all residents and visitors from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. daily. All non-residents now require a permit to visit any county park or beach. Effective Thursday, March 26, all out-of-state travelers coming to Hawaii, be it visitor or resident, will have a mandatory 14-day quarantine. For residents, this means you must shelter in your residence with extremely limited exposure to other family members or housemates. For visitors, this means you must stay in your hotel room or private lanai. You cannot roam the hotel property or visit the gym, pool, or other outside spaces. Additionally, today, Governor Ige has announced a stay-at-home, work-from-home order which will take effect at 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday, March 25th. I am in full support of this stay-and-work-from-home order. While I realize our numbers on Kauai may seem low at this point in time, we know that these cases will grow exponentially if we don't get a handle on them now. I'm imploring each and every one of you to stay home unless it's absolutely necessary to be outside of your home. The more successful we are in following this stay-at-home order, the more successful we can be in preventing this virus from taking over our community. We need to do this right, and we need to do it now. Yes, it will impact your life. I know this, but we are at a critical juncture. This virus is here on our island, and if we don't take drastic measures to protect ourselves, we will suffer drastic consequences. To view a specific list of essential services, you may read the governor's stay-at-home order in its entirety at governor.hawaii.gov. Also, as mayor, the governor has given me the authority to impose local rules specific for the county of Kauai. My team and I are continuing to draft any specific rules that would apply to Kauai. That rule will be released tomorrow. But here's the bottom line. Stay at home unless it's absolutely imperative to leave. Please, now is the time. We have seen a visible reduction in the number of visitors on our island in the past 48 hours. Our friends at Hawaiian Airlines have reported that their bookings have dropped dramatically. Additionally, Hawaiian Air has voluntarily reduced mainland travel to one flight a day from LAX to Honolulu starting on Thursday. We thank them for making this commitment to help protect the people of Hawaii. But the responsibility to protect our community depends on each and every one of us. I cannot stress this enough. And we can do this by following very simple changes in our daily behavior. Refrain from social gatherings of groups of 10 or more. If you must interact with people in your daily life, keep a distance of 6 feet of separation. Stay home if you're sick. Keep your children home if they are sick. And wash your hands frequently. Limit your outside travel and public outings to essential needs only. Finally, today, I want to give a huge shout out to our team of elected officials, from Senator Schatz and our delegation in D.C. to our state delegation led by Senate President Kochi and Reps Morikawa, Tokioka, and Nakamura, to our very own county council. This team is working tirelessly behind the scenes for you, Kauai. As mayor, I'm blessed to have a team of policymakers that have been nothing but 100% supportive in this effort to flatten the curve. I want to say thank you for understanding. In an ideal situation, I'd be able to pass on information to our policymakers as we move, but this situation demands that we move faster than this virus. So many times, these folks are finding out information as we issue news release or post updates on Facebook for the general public. We are grinding away day in and day out, just as they have been. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for putting your trust in our team, and thank you for giving me the room to work on this. It's a mayor's dream to have a team aligned with one mission: protect our island, protect our people. As you all know, change is happening at a rapid pace, and during this time of social distancing, we're going to do our best to help you stay connected. Please keep updated here on our Facebook page or on our Kima page at www.kauai.gov/COVID-19. Take care of one another, and aloha.
Thank you so much, Mayor Derek Kawakami, and thank you to our listening audience for being part of the solution and working together. And thank you, Tom, Ray, and Jim, for waiting through that public service announcement. And I've got to ask, are you guys back with me?
Yes.
Great. So, Tom, you were talking a little bit more about the impact and that you've closed the bakery. It sounds like you were, and you were also talking about some of the things that were coming. It sounds like we're going to be work from home with more information coming tomorrow. Did you have any more you'd like to add?
Well, I am very encouraged by the mayor's leadership. He's doing great.
Absolutely. I think we want to switch now over to Ray. Ray, are you with us?
I'm here. Aloha, everyone.
So originally we were going to talk about the housing crisis, and we'll get to that. We have another crisis, Ray, and tell us how that's impacted your work.
Well, it's impacted my family directly because, you know, my seven-year-old's out of school, so that's, been a complication. But the fortunate thing in my industry is that, he's got 20 acres to run around and, experience nature in during this time. So, I think that what we need to do is, in respect to this COVID issue is see what the blessings are. In the case for my son, now he spends more time with his mother, who is, speaks in three languages to him and teaching him piano, and I get to spend more time with him. I'm teaching him how to ride a bike right now, so it's like it's a really good building time for my family. And in some ways, if when you're looking at the impact of this pandemic, agate might be one of the bright spots, and locally here on Kauai, a bright spot. Of course, every farmer who had a hotel account or a restaurant account is, scrambling with that extra produce. But what it's done is expanded the whole network of people in the CSA environment, and people are able to include other people's products, like cheeses or other sort of, honey or whatever in a box that the problem we had as farmers that were selling local produce was that the restaurants really were the only opportunity to get your product in a retail environment or take it to a farmer's market, which certainly should be considered an essential service for direct drop-off, not the usual style, but, a location where boxes of food, they're pre-ordered, can be picked up. But, agriculture is an industry right now in this pandemic where social distancing is easy in this environment, and demand, through panic buying is, definitely made the food companies and the food distribution companies, take notice. And so, but locally, I think the after effect of this is really what we should be shooting for, is like understanding that what were the lessons of, this thing when it recedes, is that the direct farmer to client relationship, which was the distribution system, which is really the big problem in monetizing agriculture on Kauai, just got strengthened. And I think that relationship will be stronger afterwards, and people will start eating local produce a little bit more than just driving down the Safeway and grabbing something off the shelf. So that's beneficial. This last year, I've been on Kauai 28 years, and that whole time I've been involved in commercial organic production systems. I've grown a lot of different crops during those years, and the thing I've been involved with most, completely at this point is hemp. And so the miracle of this plant and the medicine that it's producing is something I feel really good about being involved with, and seeing its benefit, just from something we can grow here on the ground and create an effective I'll say it, dietary supplement, not a medicine, but it is a medicine. It's a plant medicine. And so it you know, there's it, for agriculture in my world, it's been, you know, I can see that, you know, there's a momentary hiccup here where we all have to adjust. But if we just look at the, like what this thing's done for our networking, just our communication between each other in, because of our population, really, you know, forces us to look at how we prioritize who our circle of trusted contact is now, and, you know, how we adjust, you know, separate from each other but still connected to each other. So that's my just off-the-cuff, you know, observations of where we're at right now.
Thanks, Ray. And Ray, for the last 28 years, you've been the owner of Kauai Permaculture in Molua'a.
Permaculture Kauai. Yeah. Well, not the last 28 years, but since 1999, I've been in that guise.
And you've recently become, like you said, a hemp grower on Kauai.
Yeah. We're Hawaii Nexus is the name of our brand, and you'll be seeing it on the shelves very quickly.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, I guess, Jim, would you like to add anything to our discussion about the way in which we're changing? The world is changing. In fact, we're learning to use Microsoft Teams at work, and we're going to be doing a lot of meetings on video. And I guess we won't even be going into the office for a couple of weeks, which is fine. We're all going to learn. We're all going to get through this. Jim, would you like to add anything to that?
I don't have a lot to add to that. I would just say that everybody's life is changing and we need to be flexible. And I had a very interesting experience this past week. Pal has been blessed to open an escrow on a piece of property that we're hoping to build 17 or 34 truly and permanently affordable units quickly and very inexpensively for our local population. So I've started working on that project, and I've been obviously interacting a lot with the county, the governmental structure, the planning department, getting ready to work with, you know, engineering and all the various departments. And it's fascinating because basically what's happened with planning now is, I mean, the entire government now, is the county government has gone home. Government has packed it up and gone home. They are all working from home. The planning department, only the planning director is in the office. That's Kaina Hall, a really incredible man, a great man. We're so blessed. We have a really good county government has slipped into place, and they're all focused on trying to help with the affordable housing situation, and they're all doing the best they can. But now, suddenly, their lives have changed. And they are all working from home on their laptop. So it's really fascinating. I'm talking to one of the planners, and he says, yeah, I'm learning Office 365, and I have my files on OneDrive, and now I'm going to be able to continue to function from home, and I can do everything from home. And he seemed to be quite excited about it, and they're all confused and how difficult it is, but how wonderful it is when it works, right? We all know computers, they're miracles when they work, but I've been on computers since 1982, and it's quite a bit of time when they don't work. But anyway, it's fascinating because we made that trek a couple years ago with our board member, Taylor Reed, and our dear supporter. She has helped us get up and running on Office 365 and OneDrive and getting up the videos so that we can have video conferences with each other. And it's my opinion that basically it is time for us to master all of this technology that we've been given over the last 30 years, essentially 50, but 30, the most focused part of it. And so all of this online communications, it's time for us to get this down. It's time for us to start using these tools. It's time for us to be able to vote without having to go down to the local school. It's time for us to be able to pull up a building permit without having to drive into town five times. Time for us to get this county and state together so that we can do things more efficiently. And I think that's what this is being caused. This is what is causing that. I think the coronavirus, whether or not it ends up being a big deal, I hope not, because it'll really choke off the economy. But that might be a good thing, too. But I think it's forcing us to become more efficient and use these tools, and it's forcing the county to learn how to use these tools, because otherwise it would have been another 10 years before we could get up before county council and testify from home. And I hope that this causes that. And the last thing I'll say about that is I also wonder if it's not basically Mother Earth saying it is time for you, mankind, to just back off a bit. I've been telling you I can't handle this many flights in my air. I can't handle this many cars driving around. You got to back off. Now, I'm hoping we all learn that lesson and we do back off a bunch, and it may be the best thing that ever happened for the environment. I'm not holding my breath. I'm very much of a realist, but that's one of my visualizations of what might come from this. We're just grateful. I'll just repeat while I've got the microphone. We're grateful to be doing this work for about 3 years. Greg Crow, who's listening on the air, is our vice president. We were able to build a nonprofit. Larry, we were able to get Larry to come in. We pay him about a quarter of what he's worth to work miracles and use his 30-some years of knowledge in affordable housing and affordable management and development. He has come in, and he's enabled Greg and I to actually begin to get the work done. We're excited that we're able to have this radio show and reach out to the community. A lot of community members are reaching out to help us now, stepping forward, including architects and land planners and engineers and people who have legal expertise and all kinds of people. And we need as much help as we can get, so don't feel shy about coming to our office in Kilauea on Lighthouse Road in the Stone Building. We operate out of the Emerald Isle Properties lot because that's my business for the last 30 years and over 30 years. And Emerald Isle is essentially helping to support this project a great deal. And we're grateful that the community's been stepping forward and letting us help them with real estate so we can afford to continue this work. And we've had some community members to be so generous and donate really strong money to us so that we felt comfortable stepping forward and opening escrow on a property that might enable us to provide 34 units to the community in fairly short order. And we're very excited to work with various partners who are helping to enable that. And I need to tell Greg and Larry soon about one of the meetings that I just had. It's very exciting. So anyway, we're working on that a lot. Times are changing, but we will continue to do this work. And if anyone has any questions or anything, they can contact Larry. Will you give your phone and pick this up and take it to where you want to go?
So it's Pal Kauai's phone number is 808-738-6706. And if you have questions, you can contact us there. And, Jim, I love the fact that you were talking about sustainability, and it's time for us to look at how we do things and how we communicate. You know, the more that we use these systems for working or staying in place, the less we're on the road, the less traffic, the less fossil fuels we're burning. And it's PAL Kauai's mission, Permanently Affordable Living Kauai's mission, to provide homes and sustainable living solutions within reach, restoring hope for the people of Kauai. And you'll certainly be hearing a lot more about our PAL project, which Jim just unofficially announced. More to come. Just feel free to take a look at our website at pal-kauai.org. Something you said, Jim, which was very interesting. Oh, I did have a caller. Excuse me for changing really quick. Ray, I have a caller who asked a question they asked that I ask on air. With all of the farmers' markets are closing, and we know, as you mentioned, that most of our food is comes from off-island. If the farmers' markets are closed and people want to get that good local-grown organic produce, where is there a place for them to go? Is there some kind of place to get this food if we're all going to be isolated, or
whatever? Yeah, you know, I don't have the specific website location for where that's being coordinated, but I know that there is, and I think, you know, the county market organization group is part of that they're all the same people that you've seen at the marketplace. So, you know, over time, you know, you probably know these people. So I couldn't without giving you particular names. I know that there is a resource.
Ray and Larry, can you hear me?
Sure, Tom.
I'm just barely picking up your signal. But did the caller ask about locations where they can pick up CSA food boxes?
Well, they were looking for places where they can get their organic produce. So,
right, grown on Kauai.
Correct.
The Ag Park in Kilauea with Yoshi and his CSA program has really been accelerated by this event, and he's got a daily pickup. You'd have to go to the Kilauea Ag Park website for that.
Sounds great, Tom. Thank you so much for that, and thank you, Ray, for talking about that as well. I think I want to remind the callers that this is a call-in show, and you can call in if you have questions as we move forward about any of the subjects we're talking about or anything you want to bring up about housing. It's our usual focus. It's 808-826-7774, I believe, because we're using all the call-in lines for our show. This is a part of the new challenge. Jim, I love the way you said learn technology. I'm surrounded by buttons and lights and listening audience. Hopefully, if you hear dead air or if you hear something go wrong, I pressed the wrong button, but we'll try not to do that. I want to switch right now, and I want to go back to housing, which is the main focus of our show. And I want to talk to we can start with Tom, if you're there. Tom,
yeah.
How has the lack of affordable housing on Kauai impacted your business and your ability to keep and retain employees? And
it affects it every day. There, for instance, with before this event, we had a record low unemployment. If you had somebody that moved here, they needed to be able to pay the high rents if they could find a location to move into. We were going for weeks at a time without a single application being turned in and working short-staffed constantly with an average of 2 to 3 employees that would either be living in their car or living in a tent on a farm with a kind of a woofer arrangement. So it's just become a way of life for us to try and run a restaurant that's highly labor intensive. You know, it's a small place, but we have 35 employees.
Wow.
So you need a lot of people to manufacture a lot of food but those people just aren't available. So it's really kind of, it stalls or plateaus improvement in the food service, improvement in food and the service, the quality of personnel. You know, it's not like, Seattle or San Francisco or a college town where you just, you can't help but get better and better with your food products. Here it's a struggle every day to get the people to make sure people show up or to cover everything yourself. So, I mean, I've had employees call in that have been arrested for public nuisance by hanging his hammock in a tree near the bus stop so he could get to work on time. One of our dishwashers just this week he got lucky and he's a construction worker and dishwasher. He's been on the island for 20 years. In the last 2 years he's been living in his truck, and this isn't a situation where you might say, oh, the homeless, they're mentally ill or they're addicted to drugs or they have you know, problems, these are normal people that there's no place for them to live. So if something in the economy will stall out your growth at some point, and in this case, I think it's housing.
Absolutely, Tom. And I want to say for our listening audience, those of you who may be shocked, you probably don't know, Tom is not alone as a business owner. I have known other business owners on the island who pay decent wages, and they have people who are homeless living out of their car, working in their restaurants or their shops. And this is a crisis, and it's an epidemic of different kind of proportion than coronavirus, but it impacts our businesses, it impacts our communities, and it impacts our quality of life. And Jim, was it that in order to live on Kauai, you have to have a income of how much? $30 an hour or more? Is it?
The last guesstimate I had, and it changes all the time. Basically, the last guesstimate that I had was from the state, and they were saying that it was $37, I think it was $37 an hour to have a real life on Kauai, so you don't have to work three jobs and you can actually afford the rent. Now, as I mentioned earlier, and this is a show that I know a lot of people are driving and they're only catching part of it, and I'm going to mention again what I said earlier. Basically, it looks like now because of the mayor's quarantine of the visitors coming in, almost all the visitors are not going to be coming, and they're canceling their dates. So if you don't have anywhere to live, go on Craigslist, and I think you'll see more rentals than you've ever seen. And I think you'll notice that they're also still really high. But if I were you, I would say, you know, I'm willing to offer you 80% or 60% or whatever works for you of what they're asking. And my guess is in the next week or two, a lot of them are going to start rethinking the fact that they can still get $5,100 a month for a four-bedroom home in Princeville. They might be willing to come down to $3,000, and maybe that'll work for your family. But hang in there. I think things are going to change here pretty quickly. I hope so. Maybe that's one of the silver linings of this whole situation. And I think that there will be in the long run, as long as we relax about it and work together. This island, you got to remember, this island had virtually no economy for a long time. It just began to get up on its feet when tourism became a big thing in the 80s. I can remember living on the North Shore, and the realtors would tell people to go to Poipu to buy property because they'd say it rains too much on the North Shore. They didn't want them to buy property up here. So it's all changed, and if we just be patient and work with it. I did want to make one comment about what Tom had to say. Maybe, Tom, if you can hear me, you can respond to this. But we were in my office the other day talking to Tom, and some people went by on wearing backpacks, and Tom said, wait a minute, some people went by with backpacks on. I got to go see if I can hire them. And we all laughed. But it's not funny. That's been the way it is. So we're really struggling to try to keep the people, you know, with jobs so that they can afford to live here. Everybody's working hard to try to make it work, and if we work together. So, Tom, I know you had to close the bakery for one or two days a week for quite a while last year. Are you able to give us a little bit of idea of what that was like?
Brief solution for us. It basically, it confused all our customers, and we couldn't afford it. So we reopened again. That was for a few months, closing one day a week. It took 17% of our labor problems away, with one less day to fill on the schedule. But there were other reasons that even the sourdough didn't like it. It changed its feeding schedule, so we needed to remain our... I was happier with our 7 days.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, Ray, farming when it comes to housing, is a little different. Could you tell us what your challenges are when it comes to providing housing at your workplace?
Well, again, fortunately, agriculture, you know, offers opportunities to live, you know, in farming environments that aren't these, you know, mansions that Jim is talking about. You know, the economic rent, like, of housing. Like, you want to talk about housing as, you know, as an economic concept. You have to think in terms of economic rent. Highest economic rent, you know, like for in the product world would be medicine. People will pay anything for medicine if they need it. The next most important, you know, human need that, you know, economic rent takes precedence in is housing. So, you know, luxury housing has the highest economic rent, maybe. But, you know, it's because of its cost of production, you know, wherever it is. Agriculture, you know, and farm worker housing, you know, is an opportunity to recognize. And, you know, the concept that I think about is that every farm worker house is an affordable house and probably serves, you know, somebody in a demographic, you know, economic demographic that, you know, is, can have two jobs, you know, like working at Tom's and then working on a farm. You know, there's enough time in the week, you know, be flexible in a schedule. And sometimes that's really helpful for, you know, businesses is to have, you know, people they can depend on in a part-time basis. And then, you know, people, you know, do farm work, you know, for pay and, you know, other economic incentives. And then, so, you know, farmers, you know, have, you know, always welcomed, you know, and needed, you know, it's the tradition in this county, you know, like that, you know, there was plantation housing created for the farm workers. You know, there was a time when, you know, the county recognized that this was, you know, an important, a necessary thing, you know, and so they were clustered and they governed themselves. You know, there was a sheriff who, you know, managed the, you know, the culture of each camp and, you know, kept the standards of, you know, behavior to what it is. And I think, you know, something that I, you know, just kind of run with for a while is that the county's been traumatized by what I call the Taylor Camp syndrome, that, you know, every, you know, opportunity to develop sub, you know, code housing on in an open environment that's, you know, relatively unmanaged by the county is going to result in some out-of-control sort of situation that, you know, degrades from the neighbor's experience and, you know, the just the general culture of the island. So I think the opportunity is work with, you know, and, you know, this cooperative effort that we're seeing out of the county politician group and the planners is one of cooperation. And I think they're enjoying working together collaboratively. And, you know, as we see the results, you know, of, you know, when this thing, you know, starts to fade away and in phase one. And then, you know, of course, we're going to have a phase two with it later in the winter. But, you know, that, you know, these kind of solutions are homegrown solutions that, like, community members like you guys, you know, Greg and Jim, you know, like, Greg Crow is, like, a hero in this movement. And Jim, you know, is, you know, an icon and, you know, just, you know, high-minded, you know, realty, you know. So, and Larry, I haven't met you yet, but, you know, the team, you know, like, look what's even developed and about to, you know, happen. I think once the people of Kauai see that, like, hey, here's our homegrown solution to affordable housing, you know, in particular environments, you know, we need to keep up, work with the momentum of the goodwill that, you know, is generated by our cooperation in overcoming the event and, you know, how we want to recreate ourselves. post-COVID. So agriculture, housing doesn't need to be a pallet. I've seen buses, I've seen containers, I've seen, you know, elevated tent platform sort of, you know, housing where, you know, tucked into, you know, nowhere, you know, it's just a delightful living space, and the people who were living there were delighted to live there. And there's, you know, we need to recognize that not everybody wants to live in a mansion. A lot of people, you know, really do want to live simply, and you know, not having to pay rent, you know, as a poor kind of monthly economic budget, you know, really enhances their life. There's money for medicine. There's money to take care of the car. There's money to, you know, maybe take a little trip every once in a while. It's like, you know, there's a life without, you know, having to, you know, pay $2,000 a month for, you know, a place or a flat in Kilauea, you know. So, you know, agriculture, again, you know, is a beneficiary, you know, if the right policy and, you know, acceptance can be, you know, afforded to everybody who's living in a tent on a farm on Kauai. Imagine if those people were homeless, you know, or forced to live in, you know, an artificial rent environment. So, you know, finding a place for people and their, you know, gratitude and, you know, the abundance of, you know, just having a place to live, you know, it really elevates agriculture and the ability of the farmer to deliver produce affordably. And, you know, just is an ohana, you know, for, you know, the highest desires and intentions of the farm.
So, Ray, I want to follow up with a question about that. We know that there, you know, and many of us who have come here without significant resources have lived in these places. I've lived in a big shed with an outdoor kitchen, and I lived for 2 years with an outdoor kitchen, and we're all used to this, but they're not permitted structures. But the county does have a way to, and a lot of people come to us and ask us, how can I build farm worker housing? But I think there's a catch-22, and Jim or Ray, if you can talk about it, a farm has to be earning $35,000 a year to put that farm worker housing up. But how do they earn the $35,000 without the workers they need to get the produce to for sale? The Ray or Jim?
Yeah, I can jump into that a little bit.
Thank you.
You know, watching the development of the farm worker housing program for a while, and you know the people who've qualified are, you know, poster children for the success of, you know, the success of their farms and, you know, the ability to live on those farms in permitted structures. So, but there's not a lot of those people. And, you know, the threshold has been, you know, part of the problem. And, you know, you got it, all these policies, you know, you have to look at it from the county's perspective, you know, and, you know, as well, and see that, you know, their concern is that, well, if you're not a real farm, then, you know, why are you asking for this density? You know, what right do you have to ask for density on land that, you know, you knew was agriculture and didn't have the density? So, but if you're not going to be producing and not paying, you know, some taxes that show that agricultural income, you know, that's a problem. 90% of the farms in the state are what are called subsistence farms. They make less than $10,000 a year, but, you know, grandma's bananas out on the road, you know, over that year, $10,000 is, you know, Christmas money, you know, and it means something, you know, to a family. And it keeps, you know, food, you know, on the it keeps food available in a neighborhood, maybe, or whatever it is. But, you know, you know, we've gotten away from, you know, there's been a philosophy of development of housing on the island that, you know, has been skewed towards, you know, a higher end, you know, look and a controlled cultural environment where, you know, neighbors didn't have to look at, you know, somebody's unpermitted, you know, structure on their, you know, there's been a lot less tolerance for that. And I think that getting back to what we were really talking about is, you know, the economic threshold to qualify for every $35,000 in income. So $35,000, $70,000, and $105,000 in income is the highest threshold. You can, for every $35,000 threshold, you can build 600 square feet. So is that, you know, that could be, you know, 1,200 square feet in one building and 600-foot structure over there, or whatever you wanted to do within those 1,200 square foot maximum. So I think, you know, the fact that there are only a few people who qualified or even applied, you know, shows that the threshold for it is too high. You know, I think that, you know, a program where the county is going to allow farm worker housing needs a sheriff. A friendly face, firm but fair, that goes around to just make sure that people are in production. And I don't know what that threshold is. I'd like to say maybe $15,000 for 600 square feet. If you're paying taxes on it and you're really, you know, sincerely engaged in trying to produce, you know, something for market, maybe, you know, we can see how that experiment works. It's only a 600 square foot house. It can, if you don't qualify, it's designed to be moved.
That's a great suggestion, Ray. Ray, you're going to have to excuse me for 1 second. We have to take a break. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea. PAL Kauai is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with Kauai Island Jazz at Trees Lounge, Kalaheo Chiropractic, Margie's Mobile Medical, and Healing Horses Kauai.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K205FM Honolulu.
Kauai Island Jazz, hosting Trees Music Monday sessions from 6:30 to 9 p.m. featuring Cat 010 and Mike Latif on keyboard and upright bass with special guests Lady Ipo, Peggy Lake, Ed Villaruel, and more. Trees Lounge, Kauai's Monday night jazz destination on Instagram at Trees Lounge 808 or Kauai Island Jazz. More info at 808-823-0600.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., 332-5580 or kalaheochiropractic.com.
Margie's Mobile Medical provides urgent and primary care visits for patients at home or work, offering a wide range of wellness services, medical cannabis cards, and telehealth. Most insurance accepted. More information and appointments at 808-635-2082 or margie.com. margehe.com.
Healing Horses Spring Riding and Horsemanship Day Camp, March 16th to the 20th. Fun-filled equestrian adventures in a safe learning environment for kids 4 through 18 years old. More info about Healing Horses at healinghorseskauai.org, funded by Hawaii Tourism through the Community Enrichment Program.
All right. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. To all our sponsors and our listeners, we're back with PAL Kauai Radio. I'm Larry Graff. I'm here with Jim Edmonds, with Ray Mackey, and Tom Pickett. Ray, that was really a fascinating suggestion that you gave us before the break, and it sounded like, and I'm hoping that our esteemed legislators are listening. I know they've done a lot of work on housing regulations, and they've been very progressive. You were suggesting lowering the $35,000 threshold to $15,000. Is that correct?
Larry?
Yes.
Well, it's Jim. Can I jump in?
Don't quote me on that number. I mean, I'm just, you know, throwing it out there as a, you know, a potential idea, because I think that if you're a farm and you can prove, you know, $15,000 in income and you pay taxes on it, and what it allowed you to do is build like a, you know, a small ohana on your property, well placed, I think that would have an unbelievable effect on, you know, not just the family, but, you know, like people's economic well-being, on some of these more agricultural subsistence farm sites. And, you know, the county is, you know, like in the county, you know, maintaining the rural character of the county, open site plains of greenery, are top priorities. And we're in a, you know, before COVID, post COVID, we're going to return to being a global real estate destination where, you know, outside forces are constantly going to want to bring the force and the weight of their economic value to property here on the island. And, you know, unless we really kind of recognize that we're doing this for our people, the Kauaian people, before outsiders, you know, swoop, they can do anything they want in, you know, the big, you know, real estate areas like Poipu or Princeville, you know, I mean, do it, you know, like it's resort destination. So, but in the meantime, you know, maintaining the rural agricultural lifestyle of Kauai really requires that we recognize that it's not the highest, ranking, economic demographic and or industry. And if we want to maintain it for our own, for our food security and, you know, the other objectives of what we love Kauai to be, you know, a rural, lifestyle, then, you know, we need to preserve the industry that defines it.
Jim, did you want to jump in on something?
Hang on.
No worries. Yeah, Ray, I really appreciate what you said, and I know that when we met with the planning director, he was very much so focused on, you know, maintaining that agricultural lifestyle. And you talked about the plantation communities and the ohana and the lifestyle of the whole community working together, and that's very much so part of our PAL principles, permanently affordable living principles, walk to work housing, creating community. You know, going back to the old ways here on Kauai, the traditional ways, finding the cultural roots, if you'll forgive the pun when it comes to agriculture, but it's appropriate. These are our roots. And, thank you for your thoughts. And so I saw, Jim, you wanted to add something, and I just want to make sure that nobody gets left out. I'm here in the studio by myself, and did you have anything you wanted to add?
Larry, I can't tell if you're hearing me. I've got a terrible signal. Do you hear me talking now?
I hear you talking now. I didn't hear you talking before that.
Okay. All I was asking was that, Greg is going to call in. I just asked that Greg Crow call in because he's such a genius in these matters of farm worker housing and also how to cut back on the cost of housing. And without Greg, I guess he's going to call in now. I gave him the number to call in on, but I just wanted to say that without Greg, I was lost. And once Greg and I got together, we were less lost. But without Larry, we were a two-legged stool, and we needed him to help us be able to stand and get this work done. And just until he calls in, I'll just tell you that basically I started trying to figure out the affordable housing situation almost four years ago, with Taylor Reed and my wife Harvest, and we just kept trying to figure it out. We were just determined, and we learned that the general plan was being redone, and I started going to all the meetings and making suggestions of how to change everything to make it easier to get permits so that the expense was a lot smaller on the other end of, you know, trying to design a house and get it permitted. And there were basically so many ridiculous administrative delays, and the county will admit it. And they're working on it now. They're trying to improve the laws. And a lot of the work that they're doing to try to improve the laws were based on the suggestions that Greg and I made when we first got together and realized that we had to change things. So we kept making all kinds of suggestions in these meetings, and eventually I'm looking over and going, wait a minute, there's a guy saying the same things I am. And he looked over at me and we said, well, maybe we should get together and try to figure this out. And that was about 3 years ago. We got together a little over that, and we began to work together. And then eventually we found Larry, and now as a nonprofit, we're actually beginning to get the work done.
Well, we have our first project.
It is a huge rock to push up the hill. It is a huge process. It is unbelievable how difficult it is. I've only learned how difficult it is in the last 3 years. And everybody's trying to change it and simplify it and make it easier. But it is not easy. And anybody who has any life experience in development and planning and government affairs, please step forward and join us, and let's get this work done and simplify this process so that we can provide truly and permanently affordable homes for our local families, and we can take the pressure off of people so that we can all enjoy life like we did in the old days. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and joining the Powell Show, and we're just doing the best we can, so go for it, Larry.
All right, we're joined by Greg Crow. Greg, you there?
Yeah, aloha.
After
the same trouble that Jim was having, the volume coming my way seems to be quite low.
After hearing your praise, I'm so glad that you got on the phone, Greg. go ahead.
Yeah. Well, since I was encouraged to call in, I figured I would. But I just wanted to start off by first saying I really appreciate the comments that both Tom and Ray have been making, as well as what Jim and you have covered, Larry. And I'd like to expand it even more that Tom is a great example of the small businessman. Ray, of course, the farmers, but this problem of employee housing is really across the entire spectrum almost of employees on the island here. And even on the extreme end, I've been going to the community meetings they've had for looking at what's going to happen with Mahalona Hospital. And even the employees there who are fairly highly skilled and fairly high salaried, even the doctors are finding that they can't find comparable housing here on island compared to what they can get somewhere else in the country. So even people on the medical field are finding it difficult to recruit and retain their employees. So everyone here, whatever level of the economic spectrum they happen to be at, has a real interest in helping solve this problem and letting our representatives know and support them in their efforts to solve it. Because without that workforce, all across the spectrum, they're the ones who provide the services that we all rely on, whether it's the people at the very low end who need support services for rehabilitation, or people on the high end living in their mansions. They all need people from, whether it's somebody to take care of your plumbing and your electricity, or somebody to prepare your food at the restaurant.
Or teachers.
All need to have this workforce housing problem solved. And that's been kind of what we call, with Powell, we called it that missing middle of the housing market that isn't getting the attention it needs. Because they get called, and there's even a table that the county publishes for income and housing that can be afforded by the income, that they call the gap housing people, which are those people who have decent paying jobs because they've got good skills, but they make too much money to qualify for any of the government assistance programs for housing, but they make too little money to qualify for a housing loan of their own. Those are the people we really need to be addressing here, or they won't be here to provide those skilled services we all need. And we will have another reason that our economy starts to suffer and collapse with businesses closing, not providing the services we all need. Even after we recover from this COVID interruption to our life and services, we have a more long-running and I think ultimately more serious threat to our functioning society here on our beloved little island of not having a place for the workers to live that we so desperately need, all of us. So if anybody else has any more comments on that particular point, I'd love to hear maybe somebody calling in from the audience who's got another kind of business. But
well, we do have a caller on the line, I'm told. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for your patience and waiting. You have a question for our panel.
Yeah, well, what a great show. Thank you. I just tuned in only about 15 minutes ago, so I guess I must have missed part of the show. But just hearing Ray Mackey and the friends talking about farming, and I just wanted to share a moment. 16 years ago, I lived in Moloa'a on a farm in the Aglaons, and, you know, it was back then we had to, like, the county's coming, we've got to break everything down and, like, break your tent down, and, you know, and then so I just calling in to voice support for farmers. And, you know, that farm I lived on, the master farmer on that land worked from sunrise to sundown and takes a break for lunch. Like, he's out growing food for our community and all 30 people of us growing food and, you know, planting the seeds and pulling the weeds and doing all that. If it's raining or sunny, we're out there doing it, you know. So I just would love, and I think that's what you guys are doing. I just wanted to call in and just add my two cents about support for the farmers and just to see them have, like, a good home. Like, a lot of people out there, too, we just have, like, a little structure, like, a little simple thing. Like, it's not, like, a big old mansion or anything. It's just, you know, a little hut where you can kind of get out of the rain and mosquitoes for a minute after you just was working since 6 a.m. in the fields and stuff. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. And mahalo, and definitely with the C virus, that's what I'm feeling a huge thing is going to happen is, you know, for centuries, permaculture style is malama aina. You don't pay rent to anybody. You just take care of the land where you live, grow some food, share it with your neighbors. Like, simple, you know? So that's my prayer, is we can just be more simple and really take care. And I guess while I'm on that tip, just please, everybody, be safe, keep your distance, and let's cut this thing out.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for contributing to our show. This is PAL Kauai Radio. And so, gentlemen, just moving off of what Greg said, it's not just the farm workers or restaurant workers, but it's also people like our teachers. And I know that if we have any teachers listening and you've had a struggle trying to find housing, please call in and share your story with us. But it's a whole range of economic categories of people who are in need of housing, those in need of supports. And the missing middle, what Greg was talking about, was, we can't find enough teachers to fill our schools, to educate our students. We need housing for nurses and for a variety of professionals who, you know, you're not going to find the housing here on the island under normal conditions. And even now, with more housing coming, we haven't seen the prices drop. We watch the market very carefully. We're on Craigslist seeing what's going on. We haven't seen it drop yet, and we're hoping that it does. So, gentlemen, do we want to discuss any further what the problem is, or does anybody have ideas for a solution as we go into the last quarter of our show?
I'd like to say one thing about it. You know, a lot of what the planner's concerns are, you know, can be summarized in one sentence: where do people poop? And, you know, so, you know, the costs, you know, and they're relatively low cost if, like, multiple people in a clustered environment are using similar facilities, you know, separate but, you know, co-joined by the system. But, you know, a pet concern of mine for over all the years is, making the porta, or not the porta, but the permanent, you know, cement-lined, encased, latrine, an acceptable place to, you know, go to the bathroom. You know, another human need, you know, overcome by policy, limiting, the rational distribution and use of land, you know, here on the island. So, this work has been done. You know, it's been proven, it's safe, And it should be allowable under Department of Health guidelines. And so, you know, the county is one thing, the state is another. And, you know, they need to work together to, devise policy because, one will trump the other in many cases. And local initiatives, certainly, the counties are more powerful than they think. And, like good leadership for, like an old style solution to a modern problem, like that could really make housing more affordable and in various and different locations. And that's one innovation I think we can really bring to the conversation about, housing is not just where they live, but where they go, where they poop. So.
Thank you so much. And I love it. Just more suggestions, more ideas. The county is has been doing quite a bit, Jim, and they're still trying to do quite a bit more. What are some of the changes would you or Greg like to talk about that the county has done or that looks like the county will do? Jim, I know if you're talking, we can't hear you right now. Sometimes it's
I think you can hear me now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to ask if Greg is able, if he can deal with that. I'm just so you know, I have almost Tom Pickett finally hung up. He could not hear anything, and I was in the same boat. It's getting a little bit better now. Greg gave me a couple of keys. We're going to have to do a lot of work on this show to be able to make it viable and fun for everybody with all these new challenges. So hopefully everybody will just be patient. I think it's time, Larry, if you don't mind, to tell them who we are again and what we're doing, and then maybe you could pose that question to Greg one more time, because yeah, I'm sure he's a little bit more up to speed on what's happening right now. I was totally out of the pocket there for a while. I couldn't understand you or anyone, including the lady who called in, and I'd be really interested to listen in. So thank you. You're handling it very well for somebody who's facing so many challenges, technical challenges. We appreciate it, Larry.
Oh, no problem. If I touch the wrong button, who knows what will happen. But
yeah.
It's kind of
it's
fun.
It's like he's flying an airplane there. If you could see the board, it's pretty outrageous.
Tom,
good work.
Tom and Katie, thank you so much for joining the show. I know you're not with us now, but we really appreciate you calling in and adding to the discussion today. And we apologize for the technical challenges. We're all going to be on a steep learning curve for how to operate remotely. This is KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, and you're listening to Permanently Affordable Living Kauai Radio. Permanently Affordable Living Kauai is a 501c3 nonprofit here on Kauai, about 16 months old, founded as a 501c3 on November of 2018. Our mission is to provide homes and sustainable living solutions within reach, restoring hope for the people of Kauai. And when we say within reach, we're talking about, your pocket. We're talking about the amount of money you spend. We see a lot of times that affordable housing doesn't really appear to be affordable for many of the residents on Kauai, and we want to be able to change that and build truly and deeply affordable housing. And it's not just affordable housing. It's so much more. It's affordable living we're talking about. It's one thing to put you in a house that you can pay the mortgage on or the rent for. It's another to make it so that your transportation costs are lower. And we know that they're very high here, that your food budget is lower, that your energy costs are lower. Because once you get into a house, all those expenses, as everyone knows who's listening to this radio, whether you're on Kauai or not, those expenses can eat you up. They can take your money and you're left with nothing or less than nothing at the end of the month. So Permanently Affordable Living Kauai wants to address all those issues, affordable housing, and as Greg has said many times, so much more. Greg, why don't you tell us what the county's been up to and what they're considering?
Well, Larry, unfortunately, I'm having the same technical challenges that Jim was talking about, and I can barely hear what you or anyone else says. So I missed a good deal of what was being discussed. But, and I think in terms of what the county has been trying to do, I think was your question.
Yes.
And they really have been working on putting together a package of changes to the ordinances to encourage. First, they've been focusing on doing some what they call infill housing with an additional rental unit bill that's being passed, looking at increasing density in certain areas and waiving fees for people to hook up to the water and sewer systems. So it's really a great effort that they're making. I think there's still a lot of things more that need to be done, but it's a huge problem that has many components to it. And understandably, they want to be cautious about things because there can be unintended consequences to the best of intentions. So we have to think these things through clearly. But going back to something that Ray said, you know, we could also look at doing some experimental programs to let a few things happen of maybe not even 600 square foot houses, but things that are smaller that can easily be moved on and off of various lots, whether it's for farm worker housing or even for worker housing in general. And another example, as Ray gave, of the old plantation styles used to do that, where people could live on the land that they were farming and literally walk to work, so then we don't have the problems of traffic being increased by people commuting back and forth. But it's not just taking that burden off the roads. It also saves the economy. You were mentioning the permanently affordable living, that there's so many things that go into stretching our budgets and breaking them usually. And one of those, the often for most many people, the second biggest budget item is their transportation costs when they look at the total cost of not just putting gasoline in the car, but when you look at the payments and the finance and the insurance and the registration and all those things that go into it, it really costs a lot of money to have to be able to commute back and forth to a job, as well as the time that you waste on the road. And, of course, the burden that that puts on building roads and maintaining them, which is very expensive for the county with their limited budgets. So we could have a lot of mutual benefits across the board by looking at increasing the ability of people to live either where they work or within walking distance of where they work. Having this infill housing is one thing with that. Taking an expanded example of what Ray mentioned of the farm workers being able to live where they work, and it's kind of easier to see there because they generally have a lot of land available in agricultural areas. But even in the more commercial areas, going back to, again, another old solution that was the standard for hundreds of years, was that people would live above their shops. They would live next door to where they worked. So literally their commute was walking down the stairs or walking across the street or maybe down the block instead of having to commute for who knows how many miles and minutes or hours in their cars, saving that time, saving that expense, and making it with land that's already available, where, say, there's a business currently occupying a lot on the first floor, on the ground floor. Well, most of those places, certainly a lot of them, could have an expansion of that building to the second floor, or maybe, following the idea of the additional rental units, add a second or a third building with the main provision that I would say is the incentives the county could provide to encourage that to happen and make it a, you know, a limited experimental program to see how it works. But have a, one of the major qualifications being that the new housing that's built that way has to be able to be affordable by that business's own employees. So we trust the concern of many people that we don't just create more housing that will be used by people coming from off-island. As I think Ray used, it had a good phrase there about the worldwide market for real estate in Kauai. So, as has been observed by some of our county officials thinking deeply about this problem, is that it's not just a simple supply and demand issue here, because the technical word that they use is Kauai is what they call the least elastic, the most inelastic market, meaning supply and demand doesn't work in simple terms. Just building more supply doesn't help if you've got a large, almost infinite demand from people around the world who have more money than pretty much anybody working on Kauai would have, or even our long-term residents who want to stay here and be able to retire, see their grandkids, age in place is the word. So I think that's another big opportunity we have to use our existing land and locate places and create places where people can live right where they work or in easy walking distance.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear stories about people living in the workforce housing on the one side of the island having to go all the way to the other side of the island to the work. That doesn't seem to make a great deal of sense. Only sense it makes is they needed to get the housing at the rate, at the affordable rate they could afford. But then they're spending $500 a month on their car insurance and gas and everything else. So it almost is, it almost takes away the benefit of supplying the housing. Isn't that right, Greg?
Again, Larry, I can barely hear you, so maybe if you can text me another line to try calling in on a different number, maybe that'll work better.
Oh, my. I'm working at the station today, and Dove is assisting with the phone lines. He's not in the room right now, but if he hears this and there's a way to solve this technical problem, how are you hearing me now, Greg?
I can hear you, but I've missed parts of what you're saying, and the same thing goes I think if Ray is still on the line here, I can hear a good part of what he says, but it fades out. Interesting, when I was listening on the radio,
oh my,
I could hear the callers in pretty well. It's just apparently the bridge between the different lines calling in isn't working without getting too technical for everyone in the audience.
The bridge. Is my voice any better now? Dove just came in and pushed a few buttons.
Larry?
Yes.
Larry, it's Jim. Can I speak?
Yes, please.
Also, just to let you know, I can hear absolutely nothing of what's going on. I can pick up one out of about three words that Greg is saying, and I've tried listening on the, on the air. There's a time delay, and that makes it even more confusing. So we don't want to involve the listeners in this situation, but before we have the show again, we have to spend some time in the studio and figure out the technology, because this is very frustrating, and I hope it works okay for the people who are listening. When Greg was talking just now, I was, every time Greg speaks, I listen, because genius comes out of his mouth. Basically, I could barely understand anything he was saying, so it's really frustrating, and I hope the listeners, on the radio, it seems to be okay on my computer on the air, but there's about a three or four minute time delay, so I can't listen to that to figure out what's going on in the air. And on my cell phone, I can hardly hear you. I can usually figure out what you're saying, but your guests, I can't tell maybe a quarter of what they're saying, and I have to piece it together.
We're very motivated to try to help out with the community. We both have a really powerful team.
Having better clarity on the audio. Greg and Jim, I don't know if you can hear it, but you're both talking at the same time. So that's...
I cannot hear Greg at all and can barely hear you.
Oh, my. So for our listening audience, we're having these... I would call this a corona challenge. we're today, we have one person in the studio. KKCR has new rules for COVID-19, which means that we're limiting access to the studio, to guests, and so we don't have a lot of people talking into our microphones. We're taking all precautions, and this just gives us some technical challenges as we move forward. I do have Dove right here by my side, and I've got my hands in the air, and he's shaking his head. So, gentlemen, we're going to do the best we can for the next 25 minutes, and I want to thank you so much for persevering through it.
Tell them they're all fired.
Oh, you're fired. he's laughing.
That's our standard joke.
He's looking at his watch now. I think he's getting ready to throw me off the board.
We just love to play and have fun if we can through it all. So thank you, everybody, for your patience. This has been a real challenge, and Larry is a miracle worker to even make it sound like it's maybe possibly a good show. It's wild.
I had a full head of hair before we started, gentlemen, and now it's all over the floor. Some of it's still in my cold, hard, grasped hands there from my cold hand. So there's been a lot of work at the county, Jim or Greg, if you can hear me, on ADUs and ARUs. And I know there's a little bit of confusion out there. Maybe our listening audience would like a simple explanation of the difference between the two and some of the things that the county has been up to. Do either of you want to tackle that?
Can you hear me? I'll deal with that a little bit.
Go ahead, Jim. We can hear you now.
Okay. Just, you know, a little bit of full discretion. I'm a real estate broker. I'm not a county planner. I'm not really as tuned in, probably even as tuned in as Greg is in these issues. But basically, on this island for many, many years, we had a law called the Ohana unit, where you could go in and file some papers, and you could, if you had a property, I think the original was over 8,500 square feet, you could build an Ohana unit. And that unit could be, I don't think it was even limited, but I'm going to say up to 850 square feet. And back in the old days, it was easier to provide for the waste handling in that unit. You had to have a separate kitchen. You had to get it permitted. And basically, the county, I think, was a little bit shocked when the condominium law came in, and people, the old-timers will remember, they suddenly started CPRing their ADUs, their additional dwelling units. So it started off as an Ohana unit, which was up to 850 square feet. One time they kept renewing the law, and one time they were renewing it, and one of the council members said, why are we calling it Ohana units? Nobody, family doesn't live in any of them. These are just extra houses. So the county started calling them additional dwelling units, and that's where the ADU came from. So essentially, the law is still in place. If you can prove that you have enough waste handling and enough water, if you're on a certain size lot, I think the size now has grown up to 10,000 square feet because the state requires a septic tank on at least 10,000 square feet for a separate septic tank. And you have to have no more than five bedrooms unless you put in an oversized septic tank. So basically, you can have an ADU, and you can still CPR it. You can still sell it off as a separate piece of property under the condominium law. That's a little complicated. Like I say, the old-timers will appreciate it, and you're welcome to call me, Jim Edmonds, at Emerald Properties, and as a broker, I'll explain the whole thing to you. But that's enough for this situation. And only recently, I guess in the last 2 years, they've been toying with this idea. I think it actually passed last summer that you can build an additional rental unit on certain properties. They're working on possibly expanding it to the entire island. But right now, it's only, I think, available on properties where there is a sewage, working sewage system in the town, meaning Kapaa, Lihue, Eleele, and Waimea may be the only, definitely not in Princeville because of the covenants. So basically, in some of the towns, you can build an additional rental unit if your property is large enough, if you can provide for parking. And also, they give you a break on it if you do it affordably. And there are a lot of laws that are, Greg is far more tuned into this than I am. There are a lot of laws that are kind of following that law to try to make it understandable and easier to use for the average person. You are able to go out, and if the banking system continues the way it is, you're able to go out and borrow the money to either expand your house into an additional rental unit or build a little separate unit on your property. And if you rent it affordably, you get some fairly major breaks in it for 3 years. Quite frankly, we're working to try to make that longer because we don't think you should get any breaks for 3 years of affordability. Our name says it all. We are permanently, perpetually affordable living. So whenever anybody has the opportunity to build any housing affordably, we work to try to make sure that they offer it forever, because otherwise we've learned that if you provide affordable housing for 10 years, what have you done? 10 years is a drop in the bucket. It seems so quick, and then suddenly that property has gone on back onto the market at full rate. And I can just point out that I sold Kilauea Estates in 1988 and 1989 after Niki. We sold those houses for $159,000. The two-story houses were $182,000. And right now, I don't know what one of those houses would sell for. The cheapest houses in Kilauea are $640 and $680, and those average probably 45 or 50 years old and on tiny lots. So those houses in Kilauea Estates are pretty nice houses. They might be even worth more. Now, we'll see what happens as the tourism slows down and the world economy begins, you know, backs off from supporting us so much and pushing the prices up so much. I hope it gets back to reality. When we first came to the island in 1985, by 1987, we were able to afford to buy a really nice house in Kilauea. Beautiful home, still there, solid cedar, brand new home. We paid $125,000 for it. So that'll give you a little frame of reference of how far we've come and how hard it is now. And we, I mean, I don't want anybody to suffer financial hardship, but I also do not want to continue in this jacked up world environment that we're living in. People call it, you know, a lot of people call it gentrification. We've kind of invented the word through one of our supporters that we call it resortification. Basically, the world is changing and Kauai is changing more rapidly overall than the world is. And we need to slow it down a little bit. We need to think about what's really going on here and how can we maintain the lifestyle of our local families and our who have been here for generations. And for those who've come more recently who truly understand the aloha spirit, I often say that, you know, I've been in Hawaii now for almost 50 years, and basically I've learned that there are a lot of people who are kama'ainas who have no clue of the aloha spirit. And then there are people who get off the plane with the aloha spirit in their hearts. And I don't want to judge anybody, but I love it when everybody can be open and try to work together to try to figure out how to make this all work for each other and to take this island back to a standard where it's bearable to live here, it's affordable to live here, and we can all enjoy our lives instead of being on point all the time trying to pay the rent or cover the mortgage or try to figure out how we're going to keep our car running. Just not right, and we're working. PAL, Permanently Affordable Living Kauai in Kilauea, is working to do the best that we can. Get on our website, get on pal-kauai.org, check out what we're doing, and if you're moved by it, if you have any interest in what we're doing, contact us. We'll be happy to get in touch with you and see if there's some way that you can help or if there's some way that we can help you. If you have things that you want to put into our what we're doing, the work that we're doing, if you want to offer your talents to help us, we have a lot of volunteers who are stepping forward, and there's no limit to the number that we need. If you have a piece of land that you would like to develop, we have a lot of knowledge in that field. We'll be happy to meet with you and see if there's some way that we can help you. Figure out what is possible with your land and what would be the best thing to do with it. And if you want to try to offer affordable housing in that situation, then we will jump all over it to try to help if we can. We'll do backflips. If you would like, we can help you figure out how to make money from the project. Our preference would be that you would either break even or even donate the project in order to help the local people who are under such intense strife and strain under this financial situation now. So, and of course, we're always open to donations. There's never enough money to get this work done. We need probably to finish this one project we're working on somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 to $7 million in the next 2 years. So, you know, jump in and help, particularly if you know any of our super well-heeled new neighbors, and if you have any influence with them or communication with them, and if you want to reach out to them and tell them who we are and what we're doing and say, these guys need a little help, any one of them could step forward and solve these issues with lunch money. From what we understand, there are over 30 billionaires, and that's with a super giant B. There are over 30 billionaires living within maybe 15 minutes of where I'm sitting right now. And each one of those has enough money to solve the entire issue for this island, and we could help them see how the work that they had done had helped so many people or so they can do it as a donation, or they can break even, or there's enough money that moves around, we could probably even do it quite effectively, and they could actually make money on it if they still want to consider the ROI, the return on investment, that sacred bottom line. Most investors, that's the only thing they're interested in. So I'm going to thank you one more time for listening to Powell Kauai Radio. We are on the air on KKCR right now on the fourth Monday of each month between 4 and 6. And we would like to have more calls in. We understand that there have been technical difficulties today. We appreciate your patience. We all love this community. We are very dedicated and determined. Our board is made up of such a varied group, there's no way to explain it, but we have at least four Hawaiians who are working with us, and a very varied community of supporters and board members and people on our advisory board. So please step forward. Help us figure it out. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a worldwide problem. It is not just Kauai. If we can solve it on Kauai, we might be able to help people in the rest of the state, and our goal is to set up some new templates, some new standards that will help all over the world. But, you know, that's a big thing to cut off and a big thing to choose. So we're working on it as best we can. We appreciate all the support. It's yours, Larry.
No, that's right, Jim. And I just wanted to add for our listening audience there, you know, there are affordable housing developers on the island of Kauai, and we're all working together. The Kauai Affordable Housing Alliance is fairly new. It's in the process of forming. And if you'd like to find out more information on that, you're invited to call Powell Kauai at 808-738-6706. And one of the things that we want to focus on, because we talked about the Kauai being an international market, and so the laws of supply and demand are a lot different, is ensuring that the housing that permanently affordable living Kauai creates or develops or builds or has a priority and a preference for residents of Kauai. We think that this is really absolutely necessary, that the housing is affordable in perpetuity, and that it serves the people living here. We think that's a very important point, and that it serves a variety of income levels, from low to what we call the gap, the things that we've been talking about today. And besides helping Pau, Kauai, with your talents, your time, or your treasures, you can be a part of the solution on Kauai as well by participating, by listening, by staying informed. Greg, do you want to talk about how people can stay informed with the county meetings and the committees and things like that? You still there? And so, and I think we've lost, as we move towards the end of our show. Are you there, Greg? I think we've lost.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey.
Hi. Who is this?
Hi. This is East. I've been patient on hold for 25 minutes.
Oh my goodness gracious! Nobody told me we had a caller on hold. Once again, these are the wonderful. This is the challenge. New technical challenges of working remotely with the different callers. And so you're on the air. How can we help you?
Well, I just know there's just like 10 minutes. So if I could just say a few things. One is, I really liked when the guy was talking about where people didn't drive to work. So, you know, if we just go back a couple hundred years, say 200 years on planet Earth, there were no cars, no roads. We have changed so much in the last 100, 200 years. Yeah. So humanity lived for thousands of years without these cars and planes. It's very interesting to contemplate. So I really appreciate that he said that. And then when Ray talked about, you know, his question, where do people poop? So that was something that when I called earlier, I was actually wanted to speak on that, which is, you know, there's a Far Side cartoon that's a one box, and it has two little aliens on the side of a toilet bowl, and they're looking at water, and they're both like, wow, it's the most sacred thing on planet Earth. Let's see what happens here. And then I lived in California at the time. I saw that, and someone had put it in our bathroom, and it said,
said a little sign. It was at a healing education school, and it said, "We will never become enlightened until we stop shitting in our water." So, you know, people think, I mean, this is a new thing too. Like, why would anyone choose to do that? Like, so it's interesting because I'm aware that if you make a house, you know, there's a $20,000, like in Moloa'a, say you're going to make your house, you have to spend like $20,000 to put in a like flushing system, right? Legally. And so, but I have lived in places where we had a 12-foot deep, 4 feet by 4 feet across the hole. And we had three of them, and we had a house that we would move. Six people would pick it up and move it, a little hut. And that was the composting toilet. It would sit for a year. And after that, we four or five of us would dig it out into five-gallon buckets and put it around young fruit trees. And it's, like, totally amazing for the soil, right? So there's so much better ways we can live on the earth, and I just pray that we can figure out and get it together. And thanks so much to the permanently affordable housing. I just love the sound of that, like, I really love the feeling of people just malama aina being able to live on the land and not have to pay rent and just, you know, we can all, like, focus on what we're really doing here. So, okay, mahalo, thank you.
Mahalo, and thank you so much for calling in. We want to thank our listening audience for persevering through our technical challenges today. I want to thank everybody for listening and being a part of the show. You certainly are invited to contact us. We only do the show once a month. And as we know, things will be changing over the next month. We don't know what's going to happen with KKCR, and we'll wait to see how the mayor responds to this crisis. But I think that we're seeing a lot of changes at the county government. We're seeing a lot of people step forward. There are a lot of great ideas. You know, we're experiencing a a crisis right now in that we have this COVID-19. And it's immediate crisis. It happened and it came upon us quickly. The crisis that we are dealing with PAL, Permanently Affordable Living Kauai, this has been called a creeping crisis. It's been slowly coming upon us on the island for a very long time. And I think that we had a former planning director allude to that as well. But here we are. We're in a crisis now. And I know Jim always likes to say that we're in a period where, you know, this is the time of opportunity. This is the time to make a difference. This is our public leaders are standing up. Our mayor and our county council are making a difference. Taking responsible action for COVID-19. We really appreciate keeping our citizens safe, and they've been taking responsible actions for the housing crisis as well. And I think it's really important to say that, you know, for housing, for any emergency that we face as a community, let's all get together and let's work together. Let's find reasons to unite and not reasons to divide over COVID-19, over the housing crisis. Listen and stay informed as the public. It's your most valuable tool that you have. Stay informed. Stay informed about the crisis that we have with COVID-19. Listen to your county council meetings. Listen to your housing committee. Watch the agenda. Learn what the county is doing. Make your public comment. You know, I listen to Rants and Raves, and many of you do, so I know there's a lot of opinions on Kauai, and some of them are really interesting. Bring it all out from Facebook. Bring it to your local elected leaders. Give us a call. Talk to us. We're available to listen to you, and we want to be part of the solution, and we can't be part of the solution without you, without our listening audience. So I'm getting ready to close out our show. Jim, is there anything, or Greg, if you're still there, I don't think you are, but if there's anybody listening, does anybody want to say some last words? Jim, you're on and we can't hear you, which is...
I'm still knocking around out here.
Oh, that's good. Jim, closing...
The sound is very frustrating, but I will just say it's very important that you get credit for what you're doing there, Larry. You're keeping this ship in the air somehow, and I have no idea how you're doing it. You're a miracle worker.
But Larry's not only a miracle worker at the radio show, at the radio station, he's a miracle worker at figuring out how to get people in permanently and truly affordable housing. And we're working at it all the time, and we just ask that you get in touch with us and step forward and see if you can help, see if you can figure out a way that you can be of service to your community, which is what all of us, we have a team of about 20 people, we have decided to do. We've stepped forward and formed Permanently Affordable Living, PAL, PAL. So we're there in Kilauea in the stone buildings. Anytime you want to cruise by and talk story and try to help, we prefer video meetings now and telephone meetings, but if need be, we'll meet you in the office. So we look forward to it, and thank you, and thank you, Larry.
Yes, and especially today we want to thank Ray Mackey of Permaculture Kauai, Tom and Katie Pickett of the Kilauea Bakery and Pauhana Pizza, Greg Crow, Vice President of Pau Kauai, and Jim Edmonds, President of Pau Kauai. I'm Larry Graff, the Executive Director of Pau Kauai. Thank you for listening, and good night to everyone. Thank you, Jim. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you.